Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. How you doing? I am Chase McCabe, hanging out with you on a race weekend, coming off the Coke 600, the Indianapolis 500, of course. That was an exciting race. It had Monaco, one of my favorite weekends last weekend. But we got a good one this weekend. The World of Outlaws is in town. Going to check that out. Also, Cup Series racing from Pocono. So a ton to react to. And of course, we'll start. We're predominantly a NASCAR show, so we'll start with the NASCAR stuff, but I'll give my thoughts on Indy as well. I thought that was a good one. But the Coke 600, man, this package, I love it. We have found what we're looking for. And I think you saw 600 miles of awesome racing at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. And Martin Truex Jr. is the man that gets it done. But throughout all four stages, I just thought it really lived up to the hype, and it's some of the best racing that we've seen. Four wide there at the end, and Truex makes the pass to ultimately give him the win. I mean, that's what you want as a race fan. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you look for, is that kind of racing. Side by side, a lot of passes, things like that. That is exactly what we want as a race fan. So I thought it was really, really good. And Martin Truex Jr. Discussed his night after the big win.
Well, it was definitely a tough race. It was a heck of a battle. You know, I thought early on in the race we were really strong, obviously, and felt like running away with that first stage. And, 75 laps in or something like that, we were kind of checking out, and then just blew right front tire out of nowhere and hit the fence and thought, oh man, this, felt like our race was going to be over at that point. You know, I hit the wall pretty good and had a lot of damage and had tire rubs and all that. And just, never gave up on it, kept working and kept fighting. And, by like lap 250 or so, we got it dialed back into where it was pretty good. And pretty amazing, really. I mean, to see the car after the race, it looks like we raced the damn thing in Martinsville. So, I don't know. I'm just kind of amazed. I'm kind of speechless, but, thanks to my team, they did a great job. We just never gave up on it, and we kept working and kept tweaking. And, the last, 100, 150 laps, it was really good. So just thankful for all of them for the hard work. And, we got an awesome race team. And, now that we got some momentum here and a little confidence on a mile and a half, that's a really good sign for us moving forward. So just, overall a really good week for us. And, I felt good going into the race, and it's nice to, kind of back that up. So feels good, and pretty awesome weekend to win.
Martin Truex Jr., the race winner of the Coca-Cola 600, and you heard him mention there, he blew a tire early on in the race and ends up having to battle back. Now, the good part of a 600-mile race, 400 laps, is he had time to do that. It was around lap 75, lap 80 that happened, so he had a lot of time to rebound. But, that definitely made his night interesting. And Cole Pearn, his crew chief, spoke to the media after the race about what all they did to overcome that damage.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it looks doable now, but, at the time it was, not good. We, we sustained quite a bit of damage there, and we're really fortunate enough that we blew the tire we did. And, 20 feet earlier in the corner, we would have knocked the fence down and probably would have been out of the race. So, I think we just felt really fortunate to still be in the race at that point. And then, really had to work on it a lot. It wasn't very good, from being as good as it was until when we blew the tire to afterwards. I don't think we've had to make as many adjustments as we had to make on it. That car tonight was, it was crazy. And then we finally got on the other side of it, and then we're able to kind of keep up with it the rest of the night. But, looking at it in victory lane after the race, I mean, it looked like we got done racing at Martinsville. So, as much time as we spend, tuning the bodies on these things and getting them aerodynamically perfect, it was crazy to see the car be that good and be that banged up.
I know one thing. If you're the rest of the field, and, Brad Keselowski had a good night until the end, but if you're the rest of the field, Can you only imagine what would have happened if Truex had not blown the tire? If he had had that dominant of a car throughout the entire race, what that would have meant? I mean, think about that for a second, because he had such a heck of a run to start the race, and then how he was at the end. I mean, just Martin Truex Jr. in these mile and a half. I mean, with now they've truly got this package figured out. You can tell that he's comfortable with it. He's got 3 wins on the season. I mean, he is continuing the momentum that he had the last couple of years at Furniture Racing. He's now taking that over to Joe Gibbs Racing and just dominant. And you can see the confidence oozing out of him right now. And I think that is going to be dangerous for a lot of people. And he said after he got out of the race car to Fox Sports, he said to Vince Welch that they never gave up on it.
Vince, that was incredible. What a race. My good buddy Johnny Morris, they decided to put red, white, and blue on this car. And, this is for everybody that gave their life so we could be out here tonight. Nicholas Knoll on my race car, the USO, Johnny Morris, Bass Pro Shops. One hell of a team, man. We just we never gave up on it. You know, I thought we were done. We blew a tire and hit the wall. Just kept fighting, and what a race there at the end. That was pretty wild, so really happy. These mile and a half have been tough on us this year, but starting to get them figured out now.
At what point did you feel like you had it, a car that could win?
Before I hit the fence the first time, before I blew a tire there early, I was like, man, this thing's unbelievable. And then it was really tight, and we had to just keep freeing it up. And then we got too loose, and then we just went back on an adjustment. But just thanks to Cole and all the guys, you know, James and just everybody back in the shop. TRD Engines, incredible. We're gaining on it. So just really thankful. Got to say hi to Sherry back home. She stayed home taking care of our dog. He's been a little bit sick. Love you, babe. And see you in a little bit. I'm going to have a few cold beverages. That's a long night right there.
Special celebration for Coach Gibbs being selected for the Hall of Fame this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable to think a guy can be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Just tells you how special he is. And I'm super honored to drive for him and for his team and what he's built there. And hopefully I can continue to deliver what he hired me for.
Martin Truex Jr. with Vince Welch of Fox Sports after he gets that victory. And we'll get to Coach Gibbs and the Hall of Fame here in just a minute. We didn't really get to touch on all the Hall of Fame stuff too much last week with Tim Duggar in studio. But, I think Martin Truex is now becoming one of the leaders of that team. You have obviously a talented team with Denny Hamlin, who has 2 wins on the year. He's fallen off as of late, but he has 2 wins to start the year. Kyle Busch has 3. Truex now has 3. And you're waiting for Eric Jones to jump into the fray as well, because he's going to have to with Christopher Bell waiting in the wings. So I think Eric Jones right now needs to be stepping it up. So hopefully that can happen, but it was an interesting and wild weekend, and you look at the finishing order. Joey Logano comes home 2nd, and he caught up with Fox Sports after his runner-up finish.
Yeah, it's no never quit attitude from the team here. It's a good job from them. We got thrown for a loop there the first few laps of this race, first 2-3 stages. Just boy, we were junk. and you guys did a good job. Todd did a good job adjusting on it and got it to where we were competitive at least. I don't know if we weren't fast enough to win, but circumstances could have played in the right way and maybe we could have done it. And dang it, we had to run there on that last restart. And if he didn't clear right in front of me, I needed to get to his outside. If I got to the bottom of him, I was never going to clear him. He was just going to stay at my door, my quarter, and I wasn't going to be able to get the job done. So I needed to try to get to his outside there the last couple laps, and he knew the same thing, and he just washed up the racetrack. So he did a good job defending the position, and I wish I can play it over one more time maybe, but overall, if you told me we're going to finish 2nd the first 2 stages, I would have taken it. But when you're this close, you really want to win. But, man, Coke 600, it's a big one. You hate to miss it. But what a big weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Just want to thank all our military members that fight for our freedom.
Joey Logano coming home 2nd. Look, he was aggressive. He was racing Martin Truex Jr. pretty hard. And Truex, you know, even said later on to Fox that he kind of felt the wheels coming up off the asphalt because Joey was racing him so hard, which you expect. And you know, they got some history, but if you go and you watch that final restart, I mean, that could have been the push that Martin Truex Jr. really needed. But I thought it was a wild one, man. I thought it really was that he ends up getting the win. And I know Alex Bowman was not very happy with Joey Logano after the race, but we'll see what happens with that. He actually said at Pocono when he was doing his pre-race availability that, you know, he's got his coming to him, you know, that he doesn't have a problem with Joey personally, but you know, that's he doesn't appreciate how he races people sometimes. So Joey Logano comes home second. Kyle Busch had some trouble early in the race. He comes home third. Chase Elliott fourth. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. with a top five. How about Chris Buescher running sixth? Alex Bowman seventh. Jimmy Johnson eighth. William Byron ninth. And Kevin Harvick rounds out the top 10. So a good night overall for Hendrick Motorsports with, of course, Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, Jimmy Johnson, and William Byron, all four cars finishing in the top 10. So has Hendrick Motorsports started to find it? Are they rebounding now? We will have to wait and see. But speaking of that restart at the end of the race, I did want to touch on that because I think that with this rules package and kind of transitioning into what we're going to talk about with changes in NASCAR, I think that this rules package is giving us those restarts that we've been longing for, whether it's, you know, cars diving out, going four deep, and racing into the corners and not wrecking. That's the thing I like, that, you know, we're seeing them get loose, but they're not wrecking. That is creating excitement that this sport has needed for the last few years. And Martin Truex Jr. in post-race discussed the restart.
Yeah, so, you know, the final restart, first of all, I hated to see the caution because we were strolling away with it. But it's always, you just never know in these things. And, you know, the 6 had 2 tires, the 38 had none. And, you know, we were sitting third on 4. And, you know, I basically knew that whoever got out front first with 4 tires was probably going to win, you know, with a 4-lap shootout. You know, it's just, you know, you don't have enough time to get around somebody really, unless, you know, if it gets single file at all. So the leader had a big advantage tonight, I felt like, and anytime we could get out front, we could just drive away from him. So
Martin Truex Jr. on the restart there at the end of the race. And as I was saying, you know, I think that with that momentum that, you know, that the leader has, that obviously gives him an advantage, but you also are seeing the other cars stick right there with the leader. And so as they fanned out 4 wide, that's what created that excitement. And I think for the fans in attendance and the fans watching on TV, that that clearly made something that, you know, we want to see. And that's where this rules package, I think, has really helped out. Martin Truex Jr. continued on that restart.
At that point, it was like, all right, just try to get your lane going. Newman's a good friend of mine, and he started in front of me, and I just tried to shove him as good as I could to try to get our line going. And you know, with this package, you got to get the momentum going with your line. You can't just pull out and make it 3 wide or make a big move like that, because if the outside lane stays tight in line, they're going to just drive away from you. So I just tried to get our line going, just like, you know, we were pretty even going into 1, the inside, the outside lane. You know, I was just pushing Ryan, trying to get him going. And then we came off of 2, and somehow they got 3 wide on that front row. And at that point, those 3 guys just kind of stalled out, and I had just enough momentum. I just yanked it left and said, here's my chance. You know, there was a hole to go there, and had just enough of a run to clear a few of them getting into 3. And then off of 4, I was just able to sneak up in front of the 22. So, I mean, by like a quarter of an inch, literally as soon as I got almost straight, he was on my bumper and I was sideways. So barely fit there, but you know, it just worked out. We had an amazing car, but we could do that same restart 4 more times and lose all 4 of them. I mean, it's all momentum. It's all just, you know, the lane you're in, the way you time it, it just worked out. So you just never know. And I'm just thankful that we were able to get it done tonight, because we had a great race car. We had the best car at the end. So you hate to lose them in that situation.
Martin Truex Jr. Commenting on the restarts at the end. And, you know, restarts will be a theme on this show because they're always wild and crazy at Pocono. But we definitely saw some exciting restarts in the Coke 600. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, we'll lead things off with the Hall of Fame, because I didn't get a chance to really get my thoughts on that last week. You'll hear from Coach Joe Gibbs as well. And also the changes in NASCAR and how in sports in general – that change is a thing that we need, and NASCAR is finally starting to embrace it. We'll discuss that next here on Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on iTunes as well. Search for Chasing Checkers. Rate, subscribe, and review. Hear us every weekend at 7 on Saturday and 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Race weekend this weekend as they head to Pocono. Going to be exciting. But a couple things that I wanted to touch on that I didn't really get to last week. We had a special show with Tim Duggar in studio, which was awesome. NASCAR unveiled, of course, Hall of Famers ahead of the Coke 600, as they do every year. Five new members of the Hall of Fame. And no surprise on some of these guys. Buddy Baker is one of those that was put in, the gentle giant, the late, great Buddy Baker, and of course was a great race car driver and also a tremendous broadcaster as well. So I think everybody knew he was going to be in at some point, and he is now a Hall of Famer, a 33-year career. He won the Daytona 500 in 1980, and that just really, really great guy. And so 19 career wins for Buddy Baker. The next one I think is very interesting. Coach Joe Gibbs is now a two-time Hall of Famer in two different Hall of Fames. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a coach and now as a car owner in NASCAR's Hall of Fame. And he was actually asked about the honor of being put in NASCAR's Hall of Fame after Truex won the race the other night.
For me personally, obviously the Hall of Fame is such a huge deal. Everybody, this is a good example of how I get pushed out front and get a chance to be in the Hall of Fame when you got race teams like this, crew chiefs like this, and drivers and everybody. It was a great effort tonight by everybody. Our pit crew, I think Cole will talk about everything, but just a thrill for me to be a part of it. Thrilled to be going in the Hall of Fame, and just a great time for us. I think about, you know, how much God's blessed me and how much I miss JD. Got Coy here with me, and for our family and everything, it's just a huge deal for us and the racing family at Joe Gibbs.
Coach Joe Gibbs, now a NASCAR Hall of Famer and a Pro Football Hall of Famer as well. Three-time Super Bowl champion, of course. Started Joe Gibbs Racing back in 1992. Has won four Cup Series championships in that time, five Xfinity Series titles, and he's got 164, now 165 Cup Series wins. And so just a pretty cool, great honor. And as you continue down the list, it makes so much sense because two drivers that are going in the Hall of Fame this year actually won championships for Joe Gibbs. Bobby Labonte, of course, gave the team their first championship and was really one of the most successful drivers early on in Joe Gibbs Racing. You had Dale Jarrett, of course, won the Daytona 500. But then Bobby Labonte joined, and things really started picking up. And then Tony Stewart. What can you say about Tony Stewart? He joins Joe Gibbs Racing alongside Bobby Labonte. And those two together for a long time were just very dominant. And Bobby Labonte will always be one of the most underrated drivers, in my opinion. You know, Terry gets a lot of the notoriety, but Bobby, that rookie class in 93 with Jeff Gordon and Bobby Labonte, Jeff Gordon having battles over the years, tremendous to watch. So Bobby Labonte, well-deserved. And then, of course, Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart was a personality. He was what this sport needed. He was a little bit of an A-you-know-what at times, but could rub people the wrong way. But he was a hell of a race car driver. And I think that was something that, especially in the passing of Dale Earnhardt, you kind of needed that figure. And he wasn't always a fan favorite, but then he was also a fan favorite because people wanted to see what he was going to do next. I was at Bristol one time. He got wrecked. He threw his helmet. And it was, you know, everybody went nuts. And, you know, he would always speak his mind, had a little bit of a hot head, but definitely deserving of the Hall of Fame. And he gave his thoughts on being elected.
Well, it's very humbling for sure. But it's a really cool day to, and it's, to me, it's even way bigger than us getting in. It's, you know, the fact that the guy that really was responsible for getting me to Joe Gibbs Racing with Bobby Labonte, and coach, getting coach in as well. And even before that with Waddell Wilson, who was with Harry Grenier when I started in 96 with Grenier Walsh Racing. So the four of us going in at the same time, I mean, there's personal ties to all three of those guys. And even Buddy Baker, I mean, when I went through the Buck Baker School, Buddy actually was there one day and watched me run the car. So it's just really cool how all five of us, the four guys that are going in with me, I have a connection with and at early parts of my career.
Tony Stewart on his induction into the Hall of Fame. That ceremony, of course, takes place into January. But and then the fifth one is Waddell Wilson, who is an engine builder and crew chief. Wilson worked for David Pearson, Benny Parsons as well, and then also had ties with he built engines for Pearson, Fireball Roberts, Bobby Allison, Cale Yarborough, and old DW Darrell Waltrip. 109 wins, 123 poles during that time span. So Waddell Wilson also elected to the Hall of Fame. So that the thing about the Hall of Fame is you honor the past. You honor those that got you to where you are in the sport of NASCAR in this case. And over the time, you listen to all these drivers, they drove in different eras, or car owners, or crew chiefs, or whatever. They were part of different eras. And there were changes throughout that time. You had changes in the time periods. And I think that NASCAR kind of got to a point where maybe they changed too much. And they realized that they changed too much. And they tried to get too big, and they grew. And then they tried to fix it, and it was quick fixes and change this and change that and everything. And it was just going in the wrong direction. Now I kind of think they're at a point where they're making the right changes. They're making the right tweaks. They understand the things that they need to do. And I think that one thing is they're trying to get the younger race fan to come to the racetrack and be a fan of NASCAR. Alex Bowman, who is one of the young guys, very close to winning his first race, was actually asked about that, about what he thinks they could do to get the younger fan to come to NASCAR.
To be honest here, lately I've kind of just been focused on myself, trying to get running better. But you know, I think there's a lot of things that we can say are easy to do, but I mean we really need to appreciate the fans that we have and take care of them a lot as well. So that's kind of a fine balance, but you know, I think what's cool about NASCAR is they're so willing to change and make changes and always trying to improve the product. You know, other sports do that somewhat, but not to the extent that NASCAR does. So, well, I might not have any huge ideas. I heard some of Ty's stuff and it sounded pretty cool, but you know, I think we have to balance taking care of the fans that we have and make it inviting for new fans as well. And I think NASCAR does a really good job of that.
NASCAR driver Alex Bowman on what they need to do. And you know, he didn't have an answer, so to speak. But I think that the way this sport is changing through a digital standpoint, creating side-by-side racing where you're going to have some wrecks. I mean, I know the novice fan, they like to see the wrecks, but the cars are safer. You're seeing the skill of the driver. I mean, when I go to a race, I want to see skill. I'm going out to the World of Outlaws event at the Nashville Fairgrounds. That's skill. You'll hear from Ray Evernham and Aaron Crocker Evernham here in just a little bit, because I talked to them about the skill that it takes to drive those cars. So I want to see skill. And I think with this new rules package, you know, you're seeing that. And I applaud NASCAR for doing the things that they're doing. They're changing the schedule. They're trying to make that different. You have the, you know, looking at the length of races. Is that something they need to change? But I just think NASCAR is doing the right things by tweaking now. They're not trying to just fix it all in one weekend. They realize that, hey, Rome wasn't built in a day. And Steve O'Donnell, of course, who's the executive vice president in NASCAR, and basically this rules package is something that is a brainchild of his. He says they really like where they're at, and they finally found what they're looking for.
Sunday, I thought, was one of the best Coke 600s we've seen, that I've ever seen, passing throughout the field, a lot of action throughout the four wide restarts, and then Martin Truex delivering there at the end. I thought it was a tremendous race. I don't think we need any more time. You know, you look at the passing for the lead year over year is up 56%, passing, you know, throughout the field's up 30%. So you know, we're ready to declare this is the rules package, and it's really working at the intermediate track. Still some things to look at, certainly on mile and under tracks, and certainly some things we can do around the tires. We had a really good meeting with Goodyear this weekend with the drivers. Some good things hopefully to come in terms of what we'll see from a tire standpoint to go along with this package. So, you know, we're really happy with where things are at. And I think the teams always adjust. You know, you see that throughout the year. You go on the West Coast swing, who's kind of hit it at the beginning, and then you head to Texas and adjustments are made. And you'll see that continue throughout the year.
Steve O'Donnell, Executive Vice President, Competition, and all that, you know, discussing the rules package. And you heard him say the words, and that courtesy of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and NASCAR.com. You heard him say the words, this is the rules package. This is it. This is what we think we have, what we want. And you know what? I know they have what they want. They're getting the results. I truly believe that. I truly believe that they have what they're looking for. Because the racing at the mile and a half, and, you know, yeah, you can still tweak some things at the short tracks and all of that. I can't wait to see what Michigan's going to have here in a couple weeks. You know, Pocono this weekend is going to be interesting with this setup, but they have what they're looking for, and they have the type of competition, and they have the type of entertainment that the fan is looking for. And I think a lot of that has to do with how this rules package has brought the cars closer together, and that has created some old school type racing.
The goal was to, you know, bring the cars closer together, but also see the best teams out there winning. So I think one of the myths at the beginning of the year, Pete and Shannon, is, as you know, was that, you know, anybody can win any of these races, and, you know, we're going to be pack racing everywhere, we're going to crash cars at every race, and none of that's happened. You know, certainly the cars are closer together, but the top teams are still winning. But what we are seeing is, you know, teams that have historically, you know, finished a little bit lower in the field or have struggled over the last two or three years are up there competing. Maybe not necessarily for wins just yet, but for top fives, top tens, and that's a good thing for the sport. More teams winning, but also the ability, you know, for those that deserve to win, they can still go out there and do it. So I agree with Ricky Stenhouse and Buescher and LaJoie with a great finish as well. And, you know, fans embrace that.
That's the big thing for me. That's the big change that I was looking for. Yeah, the best drivers are going to win. The best cars are going to win, but you're having competition from some of these others. You look at the Coke 600. You know, I mentioned Ricky Stenhouse Jr. with a top five. Roush Fenway Racing. And by the way, Ryan Newman was in a great position towards the end to win this thing, and he ended up getting some damage. Chris Buescher finishes sixth. I mean, Alex Bowman is one that has, even though it's Hendrick Motorsports, he's been running better. William Byron is in there. Corey LaJoie, who was on the show last week with a 12th place finish. David Ragan with a solid run. So it's creating opportunity for some of these drivers that we haven't talked about in a very long time. And I applaud NASCAR for that. That's a change that I believe is really on par of what they needed to do. And then I mentioned the schedule earlier. We know 2021 is going to look a lot different. They're going to have the Gen 7 car, and they're going to have a schedule with possibly some new racetracks. And hopefully one of them is here in Nashville. You know, for anyone listening, you know that I have been, you know, at the top of the cheerleading group, the cheerleading squad or something like that, of saying, hey, we need NASCAR back in Nashville. I'm going to talk to Ray Evernham. You're going to hear from him in just a second. He's going to echo that. All the drivers I've had on have echoed that. But that's a part of the change of NASCAR kind of going back to its roots of what they need to do. And so I'm hoping that they look at that. And then length of races, I think that's going to be addressed too. I say this, though. The Coca-Cola 600 should always be the Coca-Cola 600. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. I'm fine with the stages. That's okay. But it's one 600-mile race a year. Leave it alone. I think that's a tradition you don't touch. You don't mess with the Daytona 500. You don't mess with the Coke 600. You leave the Southern 500 alone now that it's back. I mean, there's some crown jewel events that you need to just leave alone. Kyle Busch last week before the Coke 600 was actually asked about that.
I believe I was asked the same question last week as well, too. So in my opinion, I think that I think there is tradition. I think Denny thinks otherwise, but to me, yeah, I just remember being a kid growing up watching the 600 miler on TV, and it certainly meant a little bit more years ago. Like, the farther back you went, I think it meant even more, because, you know, it was kind of man versus machine. Machine, would the machine make it? Would the man make it through the 600-mile endurance race? But, you know, these days the cars are essentially almost bulletproof, and so are some of us drivers. Just kidding. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just today's society is just different than what it used to be. And so if that means that a shorter race would be a better race, then I'm all for it. I've also been on the flip side of that, where I go run some short track races across the country, and they used to be 100 lappers and now they're 200 lappers, or there used to be 200 lappers and now they're 300 lappers because they think longer is better. So depends on who you talk to and what side of the bed they woke up on.
Kyle Busch last week, discussing the Coke 600 and whether it should be shortened. I'm with him. Tradition is tradition. And if you create better racing, okay, we'll talk. But I think last week what you saw should tell you, don't touch it, that they have a good thing. So we'll see. Applaud NASCAR for changes that they have made. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, you will hear from Ray Evernham, Hall of Fame crew chief, and his wife, Erin Crocker Evernham. They were out at the Nashville Speedway. Talk a little World of Outlaws when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're on the Game Nashville app as well. You can hear everything on demand by going to thegamenashville.com or by subscribing on iTunes. Search for Chasing Checkers. New show every Friday afternoon on demand, and it airs Saturday mornings at 7 and Sunday mornings at 8. So I've been telling you the past couple of weeks about the World of Outlaws that will be in Nashville. It's here this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night. So I know this airs on Saturday and this airs on Sunday, but you can check it out. We've been talking about it. We've had some great guests on. John Oates has been on. Tim Duggar was here last week, and I had a chance to go out there earlier this week and check it out. Actually got to ride around the racetrack, which was pretty cool. But I had a chance to catch up with Hall of Fame crew chief Ray Evernham and his wife Erin Crocker Evernham as well.
Asking you before we went on the air with this if you had ever worked any races here, but you said you shot a couple TV shows.
We shot Americana twice here. You know, we restored one of the Marty Robbins cars, actually a couple of them now, brought it back and drove it around here. Marty actually ran that car here in the 60s, so had Ronnie Robbins and a bunch of folks out here, and then shot another show with Scott Porchetta and a lot of the guys from Big Machine with Marty Robbins. I had Joseph Newgarden out here as well with us. But, you know, love this place. So much history here that, you know, I'm really looking forward to watching the World of Outlaws here. You know, I can't think of a better race to watch, you know, to put dirt, you know, true history with the Outlaws and true history here at Nashville.
Now, Erin, you have the dirt background, correct? And yeah. This is kind of what you cut your teeth on. I've never been to a dirt race before, so I'm so excited about seeing this for the first time. What can a novice like myself expect?
You can expect a lot of excitement. The cars are just incredibly powerful. All the drivers are just good people, just down to the earth. This is grassroots racing, but at a very high level.
Ray, you've worked with a lot of drivers over the year. Of course, Jeff Gordon being most notable, but a lot of drivers in today's NASCAR, this is where they started. They started on dirt. What kind of advantage does that give a driver if they start on dirt?
I think that these guys here, you know, specifically, when they run dirt, they have to be able to chase the track around as it's changing, moving around. Plus, it gives them a lot of car control. And, you know, their races are short. They've got to move quick. And, you know, you look at guys like Jeff Gordon that came from open wheel, Tony Stewart, and now Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, people like that. You know, a while ago, I said, you know, when you Google race driver, a picture of a World of Outlaws guy comes up, because this is, to me, these are the best drivers that strap behind the wheel week in and week out.
Erin, would you say that these types of cars are probably the toughest to drive if you're a race car driver?
I think every type of car has its challenges. A stock car, you're in the car for hours. But I think for lap per lap, without a doubt, I've been fortunate enough to race a little bit in the NASCAR ranks and drive some other types of cars. And this is by far my favorite type of race car to drive, is a World of Outlaw sprint car.
Ray, you mentioned Nashville and, of course, the history here. We're trying to get NASCAR back here, and a lot of things on the table that could possibly lead to that. But how important is it, as a guy that has won championships in NASCAR as a crew chief, to see the sport returning to its roots, so to speak?
I think it's really everything. You know, you get too far away from your roots, you start to really lose who you are. And, you know, coming back to a place like this, this would be a perfect place for a NASCAR race nowadays. This thing, big half mile, high banked oval, covered grandstands. I mean, this is historically the DNA of NASCAR. There were so many great races here through the 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, this is absolutely a place, in my opinion, NASCAR needs to be back to.
So we can put a one race deal together with Jeff Gordon and you on the pit box and get you guys out here, right?
Hey, I'm in. If you can afford Gordo to come out of retirement, you know, he's doing pretty good up in the Fox deal, but I'll definitely build a car with him. I think we could talk Mr. Hendrick into getting us a car to use.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciate the time.
Ray Evernham and his wife, Erin, man, you imagine. You get Jeff Gordon. He takes the 24 from Byron for a race. Put Ray Evernham up on the pit box in a Hendrick car. Ooh, that could be fun out at the Nashville Speedway. But, yeah, really appreciate them. Nice people. And we talked a lot off the air about Nashville and, you know, the things that are on the table to renovate it and get, you know, get NASCAR back here. And, you know, he's all for it. And just being a historian of the sport as a car owner and a crew chief and a driver, I mean, he was a race car driver himself. I think it would be cool to see. But World of Outlaws, excited. The dirt is on the track. This weekend, check it out. Tony Stewart is going to be racing. So really excited to go and see some dirt racing, some sprint cars. My first time seeing that type of racing. Hope to get covered in dirt a little bit and be able to tell you all about it. And when we do the show next week. So check that out at the Fairground Speedway. When we come back, NASCAR racing at Pocono. We'll get you set up for that. Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app as well. How's it going? I'm Chase McCabe. You can check it out every week, Friday afternoon on demand on thegamenashville.com, and also Saturday and Sunday mornings as well. Saturdays at 7, Sundays at 8. Get you ready for racing all weekend. NASCAR, of course, at Pocono. So excited about that one. The Tricky Triangle, the first time that it is going to be raced on with this rules package. And I know that it's funny because I think that they're kind of giving the same answer that, you know, they always seem to give with going to races with these rules package. And that is, well, I don't really know what to expect. But that is something that, you know, with this race, that they're going to have to get that practice time in, and it's an impound race, and I think they're going to kind of have to learn as they go. But one thing with Pocono is you have to let out of the throttle at certain times, and that's one thing Martin Truex Jr. was asked about, you know, of when you're going to have to let off the throttle.
I have no idea. Honest answer. Not really sure. I think we'll be out of the throttle some. You know, being that today we're, you know, in race trim, it's an impound qualifying deal. So probably everybody will start in race trim and make some laps, kind of figure it out. So I would assume that we'll probably be out of the throttle some there. You know, and then you go to qualifying, you do a qualifying run. It's going to be more wide open. I don't know if it'll be all the way wide open. So we'll just have to wait and see, feel it out.
Look, that is an honest answer by Martin Truex Jr. You're going to see that a lot. Still with some of these tracks that they haven't been to yet in this rules package. But I think that, you know, you could try and hold it wide open at times, but you have three very unique turns. Let's see if I can remember these. Turn one is Trenton Speedway. Turn two is Indianapolis. And turn three is the Milwaukee Mile. So there are three different types of turns that they have at this racetrack. And so I just think it's going to take some time on the track for them to determine, you know, what's best for either staying in it or letting out of the throttle or what they're going to have to do. I mean, you know, they've had to shift here for years, and it creates a different level of difficulty now with this new rules package where it's even harder to drive. Another thing that's always interesting at Pocono, the restarts. Martin Truex Jr. gave his comments on that.
I mean, it's hard to say. I would have to say yes. I mean, typically restarts here in general are pretty wild just because of, you know, the distance that we have to go to get to turn one, and the chance that you get side by side and three wide and four wide and five wide. And, you know, with these cars, with this package now, when guys in front of you get side by side, you get a huge run. So the more they fan out, the bigger the runs are going to come from behind. I mean, it's just going to be I think it's going to be complete chaos, and it's going to decide the race. You know, restarts with this package are everything. It's, you know, pit stops and restarts. If you can get yourself to the front, it's, you know, a lot easier to stay there than it is to get there. So I think everybody will be aggressive, and there's really no telling what we could see on restarts here Sunday.
Yeah, race fans don't like aggressive restarts at all. No, not at all. Hey, look, that's what we saw last week at Charlotte. You're going to see it again this week at Pocono. And look, I'm looking forward to that. I know that's what I want to see. I know that, you know, I enjoy seeing side by side with the double file restarts, and, you know, one guy thinks he's got enough, so he's going to shoot out to the side and try and make the pass. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I know that they're going to be exciting with the restarts at Pocono. And Alex Bowman, who has had a lot of success lately, also commented on the restarts.
Yeah, restarts here are always interesting anyway, just with how long you have until you get to turn one and how crucial the draft was even without a lot of drag on the cars. So the draft is just going to be more crucial. You're going to be four or five wide, just like we always have been, getting into turn one. And then it's going to all funnel down and narrow out really quickly. So they're going to be really crucial. This place is hard to pass. Once you get buried in traffic, it's tough. So restarts are going to be really key. Track position is going to be really key, but it'll be exciting for sure.
And speaking of Alex Bowman, you know, we know that he's finished three straight point races in second. He's been oh so close to his first win. Last year in this race at Pocono, he finished third. So he's been pretty good at Pocono as well. And I know the rules package is different this time around, but could this be the weekend where he breaks through? Bowman commented on his recent success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think our cars have been really strong here lately. It's been a lot of fun going to the racetrack the last month. So definitely been enjoying that and really proud of everybody at Hendrick Motorsports. You know, all four of our cars have been really strong lately. So that's been good. Obviously, we had a really strong day here in the second race last year, but the package is so different that I think there's not much that we can really transfer over. Just going to be so much on throttle time. I don't think you'll be wide open, but you know, it's going to be very little lifting, not a lot of brakes. Everything's going to be very different. So I'm kind of excited to see how it's going to drive. I like new, different things, so I'm looking forward to that. But definitely confident coming in. Not sure what we can carry over from last year, though.
Alex Bowman on his recent success and his confidence, and, you know, it's going to happen. We all keep saying it's going to happen. It was like with Chase Elliott. Like, it's going to happen. You just don't know when. And Hendrick Motorsports as a whole is getting better. I mean, William Byron is really starting to gel with Chad Knaus, and you're seeing the things start to come together for them. But I think that Bowman is a guy that you really could pay attention to. And he's someone that, you know, is so close to winning that, hey, maybe it is this weekend at Pocono. But another guy that's been successful there is somebody we've talked about a lot lately, and that's Martin Truex Jr. And he knows how to get around this tricky triangle.
Yeah, I think anytime you have success at a racetrack, it helps just because you kind of understand it a little bit. But, you know, that being said, with the new package, it is a lot different. I mean, there's no question. And but places that we've had success before, it seems to translate a little bit. And I think a lot of that's just, you know, driver confidence and understanding the racetrack and you know, the team kind of understanding it as well. So hopefully we have the right approach. It's going to be a tough weekend. It's short practices. You know, and then impound qualifying. So it's going to be tough, less practice than normal, but, you know, especially here, it's, you know, 2.5 mile track. It takes you a minute to get in and out of the garage and get a green flag. I mean, we may run 20 laps of practice total in 2 50-minute sessions. So from that standpoint, it's going to be a tough weekend, but, being on a roll, I mean, it's just a credit to the team and the hard work, you know, finally coming together and, you know, doing all the little things right. You know, the pit crew has really come on strong and gelled as a unit. And it takes everything at this level to win races and to put yourself in position consistently. So just, you know, just coming together as a group and kind of starting to find that momentum. It's one of those things in the sport that's really hard to find. And once you do, you want to do all you can to hang on to it because you never know when it's going to go away.
Martin Truex Jr. on his recent success and, of course, going into Pocono. I mean, he's always somebody that you have to look at and you don't want to bet against. But, again, there are some other drivers that are running well right now, whether it's Bowman or Keselowski or, you know, Kyle Busch, of course, is one of those. So that's what this rules package tried to create. is, yeah, the best rise to the top, but you also have others competing for wins as well. So we will see how it all shakes out at the Tricky Triangle this weekend. Who will be the winner? We'll discuss that and much more next week. I'll tell you about my dirt racing experience when we come back here on Chasing Checkers on next week. Check it out on demand, thegamenashville.com. Every episode ever is there. It's also on iTunes, so you can subscribe, and every Friday evening it'll come straight to your phone or computer or whatever that you listen to your podcast on. So I'm Chase McCabe. Have a great weekend, and we are Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.